His takings are 2% higher than this time last year. Such figures can be misleading because they can reflect increased or premium ticket prices as well as high demand, but it remains an impressive performance during a recession. Some of the shows cited in the report as significant hits include David Tennant and Catherine Tate in Much Ado About Nothing, and Jess Butterworth's Jerusalem, with Mark Rylance as a West Country maverick fighting the local council's attempt to evict him.
It's taken years, but you've finally done it. You're barred from every pub in Flintock. Moonrakers, you broke the security camera. Then the week after they let you back, you pick a fight with a squaddy.
I never started that bloody Rambo.
Both Jerusalem and Much Ado About Nothing were produced commercially by Sonia Friedman, who's also responsible for another current London hot ticket, Kristin Scott Thomas, in a revival of Harold Pinter's Betrayal.
I drove past the house, stopped about 50 yards further on, like we used to do, do you remember?
Yes.
Then I got out of the car, I went up the steps, I looked at the bells, you know, the names on the bells, I looked for our name.
Green.
You couldn't see it, eh?
Nope.
That's because we're not there anymore.
And at the recent Tony Awards on Broadway, Friedman had a production credit on shows nominated for a combined total of 24 awards. Jerusalem, La Bette, Tom Stoppard's Arcadia, and the musical The Book of Mormon by the creators of the TV comedy South Park, which is expected to come to this country next year. Her list of shows is now more than 100. So what, I asked Sonia Friedman in her office above the Duke of York's Theatre in London, has she learned about creating a hit show?
Just to trust my instinct and my own taste, really, and not to try and prejudge or second-guess what an audience wants. And more often than not, my taste has collided with the audience's.
And if we take as an example of that Jerusalem, because it was anything but a safe play that, I mean, first of all, I mean, certainly on Broadway, but even transferring it in London, and they're quite open, Ian Rickson, the director, and Jess Butterworth, the writer, that he was in a mess for some years, that play. But you, again, that is just an instinct you had.
Well, look, I saw it at the Royal Court. I'd been aware of the piece, and I'd been aware that they'd been developing it for many years. And I went along just as a member of the audience. And at the end of the piece, I was, like many, completely blown away, but didn't think it could be commercial, given the subject matter, given the scale of it, given the length of it, given the language within it. So the honest answer is, my instinct was at that point, I don't know how I can make this work. But then I spoke to several people whose opinion I respect enormously, and they basically said to me, as a producer, this is something you have to do.
It was also, for me, quite reassuring, because a lot of people, you must know, have been saying for years, you have to have a movie star, basically, in order to make a production work. But Mark Rylance, although clearly a great actor, was not a huge movie star. And so it's reassuring, in fact, that there would be an audience for simply an actor of that kind rather than a huge movie star.
It is reassuring, although I have to say, Mark is a one-off. And that, as a producer, is something that is worrying, because nowadays you are looking for stars that audiences want to see, and invariably they have to have come from sort of a film or a TV background as well as theatre.
Producing, in the end, it comes down, for all the instinct and for all the art, that money is important. So, and producers are often very reluctant to talk figures, but look, if I come to you, for the sake of argument, with Rupert Murdoch the play, Rupert Murdoch the musical, and you decide you want to put them on, first of all, in the West End, what kind of money are we talking for Rupert Murdoch the play?
Well, OK, first of all, Rupert Murdoch the play, how many are in it? I would imagine quite a lot.
Quite a lot. Well, no, we it's his family and then a couple of other people.
Yeah, OK.
And so maybe a policeman. So if you say cast of six.
It's a cast of six. It's a new play. You want to do a bit of development, maybe a reading or a workshop. And maybe there are 3-4 locations in the sets. That's probably, in this country, in the West End, it's a £500,000 production up front, and of course there'll be a big star playing Murdoch.
Barry Humphries, I think.
Oh, very good. Well, you know, so you have to take on board star salaries. By the way, I'm sold. I'm in. It would probably cost about £80,000 a week to run. And if you then put that in a mid-size playhouse, call it the one we're sitting in, the Duke of York's Theatre or the Wyndham's Theatre, that can take at the box office after you take off all the commissions and VAT and stuff like that, maybe £200,000 a week. So if this were a hit, you could recoup within 5 or 6 weeks. However, if we were talking about the same production starting in New York, that would cost no less than $3 million. And that would take more like 16 weeks to recoup.
And that's for a play, so Rupert Murdoch the musical, so cast of about 30, including chorus line. We're talking, what, we're into millions here.
Yeah, in this country, because you're talking about a musical, and therefore the development process is at least 2-3 years, and you probably got through a couple of book writers through the process, maybe one or two lyricists have been fired along the way. And so right now, I would say probably not less than £4.5 million. And Broadway, you know, we all know the Spider-Man stories, but on Broadway, you know, a new musical can cost anything between 12 and, oh gosh, you know, north of 30 million now.
On that question, because the figures are published on Broadway and you're in that rare position they get into there, and Book of Mormon, which you're going to bring here, I mean, they're at 103%, and a couple of other shows are. But how does that happen? You start just putting extra seats in, or
it's premium seats. I've been criticized for introducing premium into my shows. Frankly, all the producers are, and any show that is a hit these days in London, there will be an element of premium pricing available. Having said that, I will always insist that there's also cheap prices available, so that you can also get into Jerusalem or All My Sons or whatever it is for £10, £15.
And we've mentioned Spider-Man on Broadway. There must be a lot of theatre producers thinking, there but for the grace of God, or Darwin, go I. Have you, in your career, have you ever thought, I'm in a bit of a disaster here?
Actually, no, because I've never done anything of that scale yet. I'm actually developing 2 or 3 big shows right now, big musicals. And no, I don't. I don't think any experienced producer would get themselves into the pickle they got themselves into with Spider-Man.
So it was lack of experience.
They were young, new producers, yeah. But no, I haven't yet, thank goodness.
Why don't they publish the figures in London?
Do you know, I don't know, but I'm absolutely thrilled they don't, because I think it's one of the curse of Broadway, is the fact that the numbers are printed, because, you know, success on Broadway is absolutely about money. You know, I took the Norman Conquest to Broadway. I don't know whether you remember that. And it was critically and artistically a phenomenal hit. It won every award going. We did wonderful business once we'd opened, but it didn't recoup. And it didn't recoup because it was a huge endeavour. We should have run it longer. We couldn't have run it longer because of actors' availability. If we had have run it longer, we would have recouped. But it will go down in history as a flop. And I just think that's wrong.
If you've had one that hasn't done so well, you've got to balance it out, haven't you? I mean, in choosing what you're going to do.
Oh, yes. I mean, I run my company a bit like a repertory company. I mean, at the moment, I think I've got in development and certainly for sale, or I think about 10 shows, and that I have lost money in New York this year. I've also made money in London this year, and that will balance itself out. But when I say I've lost, it's actually not me personally, it's my investors.
Do you ever feel guilty about your investors? I mean, producers must do. If something goes south...
Yes, I mean, look, when I first started doing this, it was the hardest part of the job, because I'd come from the subsidised sector, where you had the right to fail, and you raised your money via the Arts Council. And it was, you know, you didn't think of it as anybody's money, albeit, of course, it was government money, but it was sort of like cyberspace money, you know. Whereas when I first started producing commercially, which is now probably 10, 12 years ago, that was very, very difficult, looking somebody in the eye and saying, will you give me some money for this idea I've got? And if that was hard, it was much, much harder than turning around to them and say, I haven't made it work for you, and I'm only going to be giving you half your money back. But I absolutely have got to the point now where I can be very, very honest with the people who invest in my shows and say that I think that this has a really good chance of working. In the case of Much Ado About Nothing, with David Tennant and Catherine Tate now, that was always going to be a commercial success with the combination of the people involved. And so that was one way you can say to them, here's a present, because this is going to work. And
whereas Jerusalem, you said this is a gamble.
Absolutely, with Jerusalem, I said it was going to be a gamble. And it's those ones that are obviously very, very satisfying when on paper they shouldn't work, and then they do.
But this is everything you've been saying. You see, I once had this conversation with a theatre producer, male, who I can't name, about a certain musical, and he said, I went to see it, and I thought it was absolutely ghastly. I sent out free earplugs in the interval, but I thought this is going to make an awful lot of money, so I'll produce it. But you're saying you would never do that.
I think if it fulfilled a part of the remit within my company, I would probably get involved with something, even if it didn't suit my taste. Yes, if I felt it was well done in the way that I hate bounty bars, I hate coconut, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it should be taken off the sweet counter. So if I know that the bounty bar is going to sell in my sweet shop, I'll sell it.
Sonia Friedman. Details of her productions can be found on our website. John Wilson will be here on Monday at 7:15.